Baseball Dads, number 28.
Hey, Dad, you want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
Hey, welcome to Baseball Dads. Happy New Year. It's 2019. Happy New Year from Baseball Dads. My name is Jason Acquisto. It is the middle of winter here in Indiana. Yeah, I know, right? Now, winter meetings have come and gone, okay? There is snow on the ground here, and Bryce Harper is still a free agent. I mean, what's the deal with that? Okay, something fun we're doing is a poll, P-O-L-L, on Facebook. So just go to Baseball Dad's Facebook page. We're asking for your favorite baseball movie. Everybody has a favorite. There are so many. What's your favorite? The one you could watch over and over and quote every line, or the one that means the most to you personally. Maybe it has a special place in your heart because of whatever. Is it Bull Durham, Sandlot, Natural? Major League, Major League 2, Field of Dreams, Bad News Bears. There's so many good ones. Vote for your favorite on our Facebook page, and we'll tally those up, and we'll figure out which one is the most popular amongst Baseball Dads listeners. The perfect time is now to hear more from my new friend, Tyler Musial, the great-grandson of Stan the Man Musial. Tyler has some great stories about Papo, and rather than listen to me talk, let's go ahead and go right into the interview. Now, at this point, I asked Tyler about modern players and how different it was in Stan's day when they didn't have all the nutrition and strength training that we have now.
Yeah, it is crazy to think about. We talk about nutrition or strength training that these, you know, this day and age, but I mean, he was a natural. I mean, growing up in you know, Denora, he was a really good basketball player, baseball player. He did gymnastics, which he attributes a lot of his kind of wiry strength to. And you know, growing up, Stan and the Musial family did not have a lot of money. So, you know, he would be, you know, found often hitting bottle caps or baseballs that, you know, his mom would make him out of rags and electrical tape. And he was so good. He got so good at hitting it to the opposite field, because the field they play on in Denora, if you pulled it down the right field line, it was a hill, and the ball would run forever, and you'd have to stop play or you'd lose it. So he got so good at slapping it the other way, which he's known for. But yeah, he was just a natural. He was a great athlete. He was, you know, striking out men, I think, at 15 or 14 in Nora. And, he got a couple basketball scholarships. I think Pitt offered him a basketball scholarship, which a lot of people don't know about, but Cardinals got to him and signed him. He was 16 or 17. So, and as most fans know, he started off as a pitcher, and then, fell and hurt his arm and started hitting. For a while there, he didn't know if he'd make it. And then the rest is kind of history in that 40-41 season. So, to answer your question, he was just a natural. I think he was put on this earth to play baseball.
So you mentioned before that he had struck up a friendship with Albert Pujols, and I remember when that happened. I think it was really well presented to the public. To me, it seems like a natural fit, of course, because they're both great people, right?
I'd say I think Albert definitely knew that, you know, Stan's legacy and got to know him as a person and just had a deep respect for him. Kind of definitely picked his brain when it came to baseball and in St. Louis, and they just became good friends. I think it was, you know, quoted at some point where people started calling him El Hombre. He took offense to that. He said, "No, that's not what I want to be called. There's only one man, and that's Stan." It was a great bond between the two, and it went both ways. And my cousin Brian, I think, still talks to Albert, and there's just still a lot of respect there. I think when he broke the RBI record, Papa's RBI record, you know, he gave Brian a text or a call or something like that. He's a class act.
Yeah. I think a lot of that just kind of filters through the organization, and a lot of that he, Stan, had kind of built. When you have a person like that that's larger than life, that's one of the best players in the game for such a long time, and he cast this huge and long shadow over the city, and he became St. Louis baseball. It almost defined the Cardinal way, and, you know, along with other people that you hear about, you know, like George Kissel, you hear about how he was such an important coach and instructor, and these people, especially Stan, had built this kind of culture in St. Louis. And this is when I start thinking about why I'm a Cardinals fan. The culture in St. Louis is that good and that strong and deep that people like Albert Pujols will thrive there, and it'll make them into that kind of person even if they leave, and they'll take that somewhere else, you know, to their next stop.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think that's why, you know, other fans love to make fun of us, right? The Cardinal way is a real thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Laying the foundation, playing the Cardinal way, as you mentioned, George Kissel. And, I think Stan and you know, starting in the 40s and 50s, and, you know, they played the game hard in the right way and started really what is Cardinal baseball.
Like I said, we go to that museum every time we visit, and I take a bunch of pictures, and I've got all the pictures of all the different quotes on the wall.
There's some good ones out there.
It's by Stan, and it is so simple and yet so profound. And the quote that's written there says, "I love to play this game of baseball. I love putting on this uniform." And that, to me, is, that's just it. That's the essence right there.
That's it. It's a really good quote.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Did you meet anybody anybody that stands out? Anybody that would be interesting to hear about?
Yeah, I mean, I can probably start off with outside of the Cardinals organization. I was lucky enough to go up to Cooperstown with the family a couple times there in the late 90s and early 2000s. And players would, you know, induction weekend, Stan would go almost every year that he was available to do so. So, I mean, yeah, I was lucky enough to meet a lot of Hall of Fame players. I have fond memories of Harmon Killebrew sticks out, one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Nice.
Ernie Banks truly was a class act, very nice human being. So, yeah, through that, I mean, through Cooperstown, I mean, like, I have some pretty awesome baseball signed by most of the Hall of Famers that were alive at that point.
Really?
One of the balls, actually, I was wandering around Cooperstown, and, you know, this is probably when I was a little younger, and I see a guy signing autographs, and, you know, I just have this ball. I'm getting everybody that I can see. And I go up to this guy and get the ball signed, thinking he's a famous, you know, Hall of Famer. And I bring it back, and I show my mom. And it's Tony Danza. So I have a ball signed by, did you not, Hank Aaron, Yogi Berra, Ted Williams, Reggie Jackson, Harmon Killebrew, and then there's Tony Danza. So that's a good one. I remember, I think Tony was like, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "Of course." You know, well, you're a Hall of Famer.
You're a Hall of Famer.
If I ever meet him, I'm sure he'd love to hear that story. That's a good one. But yeah, I mean, truly, it sticks out. You know, I was lucky enough to meet a lot of Hall of Famers and their families. You know, obviously being around the Cardinal organization, Stan and Red were best friends. So we got to know the Shaney's family a little bit. You know, when we would go to games, we'd stay at the suite called the Redbird Roost on opening day or some big games. And, you know, Bob would be up there. Lou would be up there. So, yeah, I would, you know, handshake and a hello. And, you know, they're very nice guys as well.
Yeah.
So good memories there.
Great memories for sure. And talking with Tyler Musial on Baseball Dads. Tyler, the great-grandson of Stan Musial. Remember, we are having some fun. Go to our Facebook page, Baseball Dads on Facebook, and vote for your favorite baseball movie. We're taking a poll. Vote for your favorite, and we'll tally those up. Now, Tyler Musial also played a little ball himself. Not too bad. He was an NCAA Division II college player at Truman State. And I asked Tyler if he ever tried to emulate that unique batting stance of his great-grandfather, Stan Musial.
I don't think anybody should ever emulate that stance, that corkscrew stance. And, you know, it's been referred to many times, like a little kid peeking around the corner to see if the cops are coming. I don't know how you hit 331 over 22 years with that stance. But yeah, it was amazing. No, I did not try to emulate it at all. And you know, he wouldn't have wanted me to. He was not big on hitting advice.
So did he get to see you play ball much?
He did. Yeah. I mean, numerous times, in grade school when I moved back to St. Louis, and then in high school, you know, a handful of times as well. You know, I have some pretty good memories of him coming out to the ballpark and catching a couple innings, you know, as he was older in that hot summer heat. He wouldn't stay the whole game, but I think the last game he saw me play, I went 4-for-4 with 4 singles. So, nice. I was happy to get some hits in front of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would come out when he could, and he loved it.
You sent me a couple of pictures, and I'll post those on the podcast page. Those are really cool. Tell me about, is there a memory behind that one where you're a little guy and looks like he's giving you a baseball or holding it, handing it off to you? What's behind that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of my favorite photos, just, you know, to show how happy I was. And I'm sure he was handing me a ball to take. I was pretty young, so probably a ball to take back to Louisville. I was probably up there for Christmas. But yeah, I mean, just really, really good memories of visiting them on holidays and then moving back to St. Louis. Really, you know, when we started bonding was actually my summer jobs in high school was working at their house. They had about 3 acres. So there's always something to trim, cut, or weed. So I would, you know, get there in the mornings and kind of do some yard work. And then when it got hot, I'd go down in the basement. You know, a lot of cousins would do this as well. But Sugar, Lil's wife, collected every single newspaper from probably 1937 when he was signed with the Cardinals, you know, to probably the 60s and 70s, even after his playing days. And she loved, you know, she would have us cut out every story. So she could kind of, you know, walk down memory lane and save them and archive them. So that was my summer job, being over at Sugar and Papo's and doing yard work. And then, you know, I'd catch up with them before I run off to a game. And, you know, it was always, who are you playing, where are you playing at? And I'm asking how I was hitting that season and kind of how our team was progressing. So, you know, very, very good memories there. I mentioned Brian Schwarzy, my cousin, and he was kind of Stan's main caretaker there. So it was always fun when, you know, when Brian was out of town, I was lucky enough to kind of sub in for him. So Stan every morning habitually would go into the office, Stan the Man Inc., and sign autographs and do business. And then he would, you know, go to lunch almost every day at the MAC there in St. Louis. So I got to take him to lunch and, you know, his dinner spot. So I always liked when Brian was out of town because I could fill in and spend, you know, one-on-one time with him.
What was it like to take Stan Musial out in public in St. Louis?
I mean, he went to those places so often that people knew him. And but, you know, yeah, I mean, many times people would come to the table and I seriously, there was never a time he wouldn't put his fork down and shake a hand and sign a baseball. I mean, he loved his fans and, you know, people loved him. So, yeah, I mean, oftentimes that, you know, people would come to the table or grab him in the parking lot, but he was happy to stop and say hello.
So you worked out there at his house. That was your job in summertime.
Yeah. They would pay us. Yeah.
And where was that? Where was that located in the city?
He had a house in Ladue. So they built that they moved in around 64 and they lived in that till they both passed. Mm-hmm. So long time home. A lot of happy memories there.
Yeah. Not a mansion. Pretty modest.
No, it was a ranch and it was on just a good amount of land. and they loved it. They loved, you know, Houston family. And
yeah.
It was a lot of happy memories at that house.
Do you have a lot of memorabilia? Do you have a lot of stuff?
Yeah, I have a fair share of autographs for sure. You know, a lot of, you know, he donated a lot of, you know, World Series rings and a lot of the stuff from his playing days to the Hall of Fame and to the Cardinals Hall of Fame. You know, I'm very fortunate to have some fun autographs and stuff like his cufflinks and an old wallet and driver's license and just little odd stuff that I picked up along the way. So enough to, you know, just enough to pass down and just to remember him by.
Come on, let the kids play!
Baseball Dads is recorded, produced, edited, and sanitized for your protection at Crow Hop Studios in Fishers, Indiana.
Let them play! 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 Let them play!
play! Let them play! Let them play! Let them play!
For Richard Lerma, the client is the Home Depot. Production date October 21st, 2020. Copyright 2020. This is a 30-second stereo spot in Spanish. Spot title: Pro Paint / Bare Ultra Scuff Defense / $29.60 / Hispanic / CN 30. At ID YHTHD24RP30.
Como pintor profesional, sabes que tus clientes quieren un acabado mate, pero no quieren pagar el precio de tener que batallar con mugre y marcas. Usa el nuevo Bare Ultra Scuff Defense de The Home Depot para un acabado mate hermoso, más una defensa contra manchas y marcas. Y ese precio, desde solo $29.60 el galón. Y eso es antes del descuento Pro Extra. Una pintura mate que resiste las marcas. Bare Ultra Scuff Defense, solo en The Home Depot. Haces más, logras más. Disponible por internet y en tiendas seleccionadas.
I thought I'd have to choose between an IT degree and certifications, until I found WGU. There, I earned both through one program. WGU prepared me to earn certs from CompTIA and others at no extra cost. WGU IT bachelor's and master's degrees have no set class times. Rather, students progress at their pace, completing as many courses as they can each six-month term. I graduated faster, and you could too. Learn more at wgu.edu.
Howie Politics and State Affairs Pro offer insider election coverage, polling, and analysis in Indiana. Our nonpartisan news and legislative tools create a winning combination pro subscribers can't live without. For all the resources you need this election season and beyond, visit pro.stateaffairs.com/in. That's pro.stateaffairs.com/in.